I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top of the world, hey. Waiting on this for a while now. Paying my dues to the turn. I've been waiting
this. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to JJ's Football Fix, your home of everything A-League. My name is Jordan Giffins, and alongside me is the very intoxicated Jake White. How are you?
Oh, good, Jordan. How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Jake, for those just wondering at home, I'll let you all know now. Jake has been at the football tonight, the date being the 2nd of January, and he got a little bit drunk watching the Buck versus the Jets. The result we will go into a little bit more in-depth later in the episode.
Jordan?
Yes,
Jake? What number does Maxi Beister wear?
Maxi Beister wears number 9, mate.
Like, yeah, he does.
if you hear Jake say a few indifferent things throughout the podcast, you have a reason. but alas... the show does go on. Jake, I've got a question.
Yes, Jordan.
Oh, no, I don't have a question, don't worry.
No, ask me a question now.
I was going to ask you how your day was. I don't know if you can remember it.
Actually. No, I remember all the was a fantastic day, as a matter of fact. I'm not going to go into detail of what I did with my day, as it may not be suitable for the podcast, but it was a very, very good day. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
How was your day, Jordan?
Well, that was very relaxing. Jake, I went to the supermarket, the mall. The shopping centre to go buy Don Bradman Cricket 17.
Oh, have you got it?
No. I went to JB Hi-Fi, EB Games, Target. All of them sold out of Don Bradman. So I ended up leaving.
Oh, Requested Game is a very good game.
I ended up leaving Greensboro Shopping Centre with a $60 hand cream.
As you do.
No,
you
literally.
You need to lubricate your hands.
I literally went there to buy Don Bradman and I came out with a $60 hand cream. So
these things happen, don't they, Jordan?
I know. It's just I'm just throwing a curveballs.
Oh, my God. That's so weird. We just did the same thing as that guy.
Personal jinx. Jake, we've got some A-League to talk about today.
We do.
Absolute scenes.
Yeah.
Week 13. Week 13 of the league.
It's halfway point.
It is. Not quite, because there's 27 weeks.
It's hard to describe, Jordan. We're halfway to the halfway point.
Well, because the next game's on Thursday, the 5th of January. We're not even. Today is the halfway point of the season.
It is, yeah. Jordan, I was right in the first place, wasn't I?
No, but, yeah.
Let's be honest. Oh, Jake. My God, there's a Thursday night game. Yep.
Jake.
Jordan.
Let's start talking about this week in the A-League. I reckon it's probably a good way to go about this. Sydney FC kicked things off on Friday night with a 2-0 win against Brisbane Roar. Alex Brosk and Milos Ninkovic did get the goals for the Sydney Swans. Alex Brosk, he got himself get himself sent off Swans. For a second yellow, Jake.
Jordan.
The Swans definitely deserved their win. No, they didn't really deserve the win. I thought it was a pretty even contest, if I do say so myself. Brisbane hit the woodwork. Brisbane had more of the ball. Brisbane had more shots. But Sydney created more bigger chances. So, pretty even game, Jake. I think a draw would have been a fair result here, but alas, at the end of the day, it was a 2-0 win to Sydney FC.
Yeah, well, I've been saying for a few weeks, Jordan, that Sydney aren't that good, in my opinion. Although they did win 2-0, as you said, they probably didn't really deserve to win.
pun.
Brisbane were the better team, in my opinion. And they were a bit hard done by, but at the same time, their defence didn't really stand up when it counted, as Sydney did put away two chances that, realistically, any solid defence would have quite easily dispatched of. So, fair play to Sydney. They got 3 points again. And Brisbane stuffed up, but they need to work on that, because we said at the start of the season, that they're a much better team away at home than when they are away from home. And if they want to be genuine contenders at the title, they should probably work on their away form. Jordan.
What was I going to say? Alex Bross got himself sent off in this game. He came out after the game saying he's been doing it his entire career and he's never received a booking for it. Now, I do believe the second yellow was because he kicked the defender or the person who was defending him. So, realistically...
Well, I don't know what he is fucking trying to defend there, because realistically, he should be suspended for 3 weeks. Huh?
That's what I just said, realistically.
Yeah, well, he should be suspended for 3 weeks. He should have got a straight red card. He shouldn't have got a second yellow card. He should have got a straight red card, in my opinion. Because I think it was last season, Wayne Rooney did the exact same thing as what he just did. Wayne Rooney did the exact same thing. I think it was against Norwich. I'm not too sure. And he kicked out of the defender running away from the ball, with the ball. And, like, you can't do that. It's a in my opinion, it's a blatant straight red card because he's kicked out of the player. Two red cards were given in the City game last week for the exact same thing. Like, it wasn't the exact same thing in a way because, like, Alex Bross kicked out of the player that he was running away with the ball. Both players in the City game were, like, kicking out at each other because they're both spastics laying on the ground. But at the same time, you're kicking out at a player. So, in my opinion, like, I'm not saying this is a biased, because, like I said to you before, I want Sydney to finish first because I want a Sydney away grand final. But he should be sitting 3 weeks on the sidelines because you literally cannot kick out at a player that's sitting on the ground. That's my thoughts, Jordan.
Yes, everyone's entitled to their own opinion and thoughts, Jake. So, for that matter, I will not stump you with any of these thoughts that you have. Okay. Moving on to Saturday night, Jake. Central Coast Mariners hosted Melbourne City in a very impressive game here. We were there watching it for the most part. And a very good game. Timmy Cahill opened the scoring in the 40th minute with a header. Imagine him scoring a header. Crazy scenes. Before Trent Bahaja scored a very wonderful goal in the 77th minute. Roy O'Donovan then scored in the 85th minute. And it looked like Central Coast had held on, but Bruno Fornaroli scored from the penalty spot. A very silly tackle by Sir Scott Galloway to give them a 2-2 draw here. Central Coast looked good money for a win against Melbourne City this game, Jake, and unfortunately could not hold on. Albeit Melbourne City have been a little topsy-turvy in recent weeks and are slowly declining through the season after their very impressive start, Jake.
Yeah, well, we watched the end of this game. It was very entertaining into the game too. We were both pretty excited that Central Coast were putting up a fight to the game. And I wish that Central Coast did win. They deserved the win, in my opinion. It would have been fantastic for the people of Gosford. But they didn't, obviously. yeah, but that Trent Bahaja, I'll give him a little bit of a mention later in the podcast, obviously. But he's fantastic. Honestly, he is literally, he's a winger. Like, he is literally what you want as a winger. He has pace. He can cross. He can shoot. Could you realistically want more in a winger, John? So he's got a big future ahead of him, considering it's only, what, like 19 or something like that, I think. And that's good for Central Coast too, because he's literally come from the Central Coast Academy too. He's been involved with in the roots of Central Coast for a good 3 to 4 years, and he's only like 18, 19 years old. So fair play to Central Coast for bringing up a player like Trent Bahaja as well, because not only will he be good for them, but I think he'll be good for Australia in the future as well, and for any European club, because I think he will stay in the A-League for a while, for about another 2 to 3 years. But I think he's got a massive future ahead of him in the in Europe as well, because he reminds me of a young Matt Leckie, which is good for him. But on the game, I think as far as I watched, as far as we watched, I think the game deserved the draw. You can't really look past it. It's 53% possession to Central Coast, 12 shots each, 4 on target for Central Coast, 3 on target for City. So it's a pretty even game, and it was just disappointing how Central Coast didn't win the game in the end because of a stupid penalty in the end. But at the end of the day, Jordan, it ended 1 point apiece, and I'm sure Central Coast at the start of the game wouldn't have complained of that.
No, and I think it was a very good game for the strong 11,000 crowd over at Gosford to witness. And like you said, a win would have been great considering the crowd, and it would have brought a lot of them back. But I feel like even the result of a 2-2 exciting game will still bring them back. So that's positive for all involved with that game. Jake, moving on to Sunday's fixtures, New Year's Day. And we have Wellington Phoenix 0, Adelaide United 0. You can't really say much on this game. We haven't had a lot of 0-0 draws this season, have we? I can't remember the last time we actually had a 0-0 draw. So that's a
shame. I'm not going to say much on the next two games because they'll only show the worst two games of the season.
They were. Wellington probably deserved the victory based statistically. That is because I didn't watch the game. Golekovic, I'm hearing, did make a double save towards the last couple of minutes of the game, which saved them a point, I guess. But Wellington, probably, like we said, have turned a little bit of a corner this season and are starting to get results. But you would have thought maybe they could have won this game and really pushed on with their turn of form. But Adelaide are still struggling, and they, again, have a little bit of a tough run coming up. And like we said, they could be going into round 16 with the one win on the board, Jake.
Yeah, well, they're struggling, obviously. As I said earlier, I'm not going to talk too much on the next two games because they were the worst two games of the season, in my opinion, which I'm not going to complain too much about because I did chuck a multi on both games to be a draw. It's just both these teams are so weird because they both have so much potential to be so good because they had good squads. But I don't, obviously, Wellington have had trouble with their manager, and I don't as much. Like, I know Amor won the title with Adelaide last season, but I still stand by, I don't think he's the right manager for Adelaide. I think a Josip Gombau or something like that is the right manager for Adelaide. I don't know what to say because it was such a bad game. This game was literally the worst game of the season. And there was such limited chances, and both teams just didn't look interested. And there's only so much you can say on two teams that don't look interested, because both their seasons aren't over. I know Adelaide are a fair way back now, but realistically, that's the beauty of the A-League. They're only 7 points off sixth place, and they've still got 14 games left in the season. So their season, realistically, isn't over though. But they just don't look interested. And what are you meant to do? They've got a team. I don't want to talk up Victory all that much, although I do love them. But they've got a team like Melbourne Victory going to Adelaide this weekend who are in red-hot form. What's going to motivate them to get up for that? I know Victory are Adelaide's biggest roles, but still, what's going to motivate them? If a team like, if a trip like Wellington, where realistically, I know that Wellington isn't a fantastic trip for a lot of teams, and not many teams get too many wins there and stuff, but you'd still expect to go to Wellington and probably get 3 points. Most teams would think that they could get 3 points from Wellington. And they didn't look motivated in the slightest. So what's going to get them up for a game like Victory as well? Which is pathetic in my opinion, because they won the title last season. So, that's my take, Jordan.
Good.
I'm sitting here talking absolute fucking shit. I apologise to anyone listening.
No, you're talking only a little bit shit. Western Sydney, They hosted Perth Glory on Sunday night, and it was a 1-1 draw, so the draws really came off you. Yeah, Adam Taggart opened the scoring. His third goal of the season, I think. I'm not 100% on that. before Joshua Soterio scored for Western Sydney. The dilemma of who would start up front for Western Sydney was answered. Lachlan Scott was given the reins, but he was subbed off for the goal scorer, Joshua Soterio. So, yeah, it all swings and roundabouts here, Jake. Albeit Western Sydney have been linked with a certain individual that we will talk about later in the podcast, Jake. Like you said it was one of the most boring two games of the season. Jake, why was this game boring?
Because it's just shit. Very similar. Well, not very similar. It was a bit better than the Wellington LA game. But both teams just didn't look interested. And I don't know if that's Western Sydney waiting to make signings and stuff. Like, I know they've got Terry Antonis come in, which is fantastic, and Samuel Janjetovic, which is both players, as much as I disagree with signing players from your rivals and stuff, both players are fantastic signings for Western Sydney, because I think you agree with me that Terry Antonis has potential to be a fantastic footballer and central midfielder. And Janjetovic has been a reasonably solid keeper for Sydney FC in his time as well. So they're both good signings. But they're still... they need a striker. Like, honestly, you can't go for the rest of the season with your striker fucking options being Lachlan Scott and Brandon Sandilab. As good as Sandilab can be at times, you need another striker, which, like you said, we'll talk about later in the podcast, too, is a potential strike option for them. But Western Sydney deserve more. I don't know, as I've said a few podcasts back, that Popovich could be on the chopping block as well. And realistically, in my opinion, he should be. That's what, the 13th game of the season for them. And they've won two games. They've won one of their last 11. They've not won at home this season. And I don't think that's good enough for anyone, in my opinion, let alone Western Sydney. But yeah, so that's my take on the game, Jordan. I don't really have much to say on the actual game, because I think the game was an absolute bore fest, but that's my take on Western Sydney, in my opinion. Perth will keep going about it how they are. I think they're in a good spot. I think they'll make the finals. They won't trouble too many teams in the finals, but they've got the team starting to click. They've got Castro playing consistent minutes. They've got Keogh and Taggart starting to score a few goals. They've got Chris Harrold starting to put together a few good performances. So they're in a good spot at the moment too. So, and Liam Reddy, in my opinion, is one of the form keepers in the league too. So they're in a good spot. I don't think they're going to contend for the title as such, but they're in an all right spot at the moment.
Moving on to the last game of the round, Jake. What? What? I didn't say anything. Shut up. The last game of the round is Melbourne Victory. They hosted Newcastle Jets. You'll have a lot to say about this game, I assume.
Fuck, yes, I will, Jordan.
I will just go over the goal scorers before we start. Besar Berisha, he opened the scoring and scored his 91st goal in the A-League, an all-time A-League record, that is. So well done to Besar. Marco Rojas then in the 35th minute doubled proceedings into halftime. Ben Kalfala then scored in the 60th minute before Ma Laley, that was a weird name, then scored a pretty decent goal actually in the 61st minute to give Newcastle a slight glimmer of hope before James Troisi finally scored his first goal of the season. Took him about fucking 58 shots. And then Wayne Brown in the 76th minute then scored a scrappy deflection goal. But it was enough for victory, a 4-2 win. Newcastle didn't look too bad for the most part of the game, to be honest. But victory, just a case of taking their chances. Literally had four shots on target for four goals. So take about what you will. But again, victory just proving why they are one of the best teams in the league, Jake.
Yeah, well, we're fucking boss. I was obviously happy with the win. It was a bit scrappy, but it still wasn't our best performance of the season. It reminded me a fair bit of the game where you and I went to about a month or so ago against them, where like we had a few chances, we didn't take them, they had a few chances, they didn't take them, but at the end of the day, it ended up 4-2. Yeah, it was a weird game. I don't think either team really staked their claims to be a boss team this season, but we won 4-2, so I think, fuck. And Maxi Beister's number 9. Yeah.
Well, you're going to talk about a lot of it.
No, well, I was happy, obviously. It was a very weird performance at the end of the day because, like, we have potential to be a fantastic team. In my opinion, we'll win the league this year. But it was a little bit concerning about how we conceded our two goals because God, rather we didn't concede those two goals in those sort of fashion. Like, obviously, I don't want to concede goals at all. But I'd rather we didn't concede goals in those sort of fashion because it was like if that was Sydney, we would probably concede a lot more. I don't know if the defenders went into the game with the mentality that we'll easily breeze past these because if we went in with that mentality against Sydney, we'd get fucking demolished. That's a bit concerning. I don't know if that's a mentality issue or if that's just the players like underestimating anyone or. We knew we'd win because I knew we'd win no matter what, but it's a bit concerning, John. It's good to see Berisha break the record, too.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to take long, but I don't know how Archie feels about that. But greatest goal scorer in A-League history. It's always good to see him on in your colours, John.
And you've got the two best in A-League history at Melbourne Victory. Which was good. Jake, I want to ask a question.
Yeah.
About.
What number does Maxi Beister wear?
I think we've established he wears number 9.
He does.
Being at the game, what was the actual sense at the game? What was the atmosphere, the feeling, the not only on a sense of support for Victory and Newcastle, predominantly Victory being in Victoria, but also. With the game in Geelong, and Geelong putting the case forward to have an A-League team, what was the atmosphere like for them?
Well, the atmosphere in my end was fantastic because I was up the back with about 200 nice originals at the north end of Melbourne, just having a bit of a laugh, chatting around, which is good because I feel like there was a few people in front of us and stuff that they seemed like locals and they were enjoying it too, which is good to see. But it was a good game, and I feel like 6 goals to a public that's usually AFL-dominated, I'm sure they would have enjoyed that as well. I'm not sure what the crowd was.
I can figure that out while you keep talking.
But as far as I could see, the crowd was really good. It doesn't really help that one of the stands of the stadium were shut down because of it being under construction. But from what I could see, I've always said it, I've said it from day one, Geelong deserves an A-League team, and I feel like a Geelong team in the A-League would be successful. But I don't feel like a Geelong team in the A-League would be successful if it was played at Simmons Stadium. I feel like if they had a purpose-built stadium of, 15 or so thousand, like Hindmarsh Stadium, I feel like it'd be very successful if that was the case, but Simmons Stadium isn't a fantastic place for football, obviously, because you're very far away from the pitch. You're almost further, well, you are further away from the pitch than what you would be at Etihad, because at Etihad they at least bring the seats in and stuff as well.
The numbers with this game, sorry Jake, so the approx capacity of Simmons Stadium is about 27,000 people. The attendance for this game was 14,081.
Yeah. Well, that approx attendance would have been cut down a little bit, I think, due to the stand being rebuilt. I'm not so sure. Because that's usually what the attendance would have been for Geelong games, if the whole stand was up to. It's almost a short, but even that, like 14k is still good.
Oh,
like, I'm not saying if Geelong team was to come in, if that like they'd get 14k consistently, because I doubt that they would. But realistically, you've got teams in the A-League that are struggling to get 10k. So even I could guarantee you, if a Geelong team came into the A-League, they'd get 10k consistently every single week. 100%. So I don't know if that's something that they could look into to build a purpose-built stadium, but I've lived in Geelong for well over a decade. I don't live there anymore, obviously, but I literally cannot pinpoint anywhere that they could build the stadium, though. So that's also something that they could have a problem with, because I can't think of anywhere in Geelong right now where they could build a stadium, because there's no empty spaces in the main part of Geelong for them to build a stadium for. So there's a massive patch next to Simmons Stadium, but that's usually cricket and shit like that. So I've other than that, I literally, off the top of my head, cannot think of anywhere else where they could build a purpose-built stadium for a Geelong team.
On the beach.
Maybe all right.
On the docks. We will head into the stats and tables and et cetera, of the A-League for this week, Jake. The table reads Sydney FC, obviously, continue to be on top of the table. They have 33 points from 13 games, 10 of those being wins. Jake, Melbourne Victory in second with a game in hand, have 26 points. They have a 5-point buffer on Brisbane Roar in third. Melbourne City sit further down in fourth. 6 points behind them is Perth Glory and Western Sydney, both on 14 points. They make up the top six. Newcastle Jets, they're seventh with 13 points. Wellington Phoenix in 8th with 12 points. Central Coast, they sit in 9th on 10 points. And Adelaide United sit last. Continue to sit last. I think they've sit last for about 10 weeks now. On 7 points. I long for the day that Adelaide United get off the bottom of the table. But I just hope if any team sits last, it's Wellington Phoenix. Or Western Sydney. Actually, I don't really know. I feel like I don't mind them being last, Jake. moving to the stats. The goals, Bruno Fornaroli leads all comers with 10. I think Bessar Berisha has 10 now. This app just hasn't updated yet, Jake. So we'll go with that.
Yeah.
I think, so Fornaroli has 10.
Definitely hasn't.
Berisha has 10 as well. Marco Rojas second with 9. Alex Brosk has 8. I'm pretty sure that's updated from the Friday night game. And Andy Keogh and Roy Krishna have 7 each. In the assist department, Milos Ninkovic has 7. Marco Rojas has, I think, 7 now as well. Yep. Chris Harrold has 5. Bruce Kamau has 5. Mitch Nichols has 4. And Tommy Orr has 4. That's all the stats we're going to go through. I think, Jake, if that's okay with you, don't get mad at me.
I'm going to get fucking furious at you, mate.
We will. Now, go into our JJ's Football Fix Player of the Season award. Quite early in this episode, only 28 minutes in, Jake. What is going on? I have to slightly think about who I'm giving my votes to, Jake, so I'll let you go first.
Well, my one vote, Jordan, for this week goes to none other than Alex Brosk. Although he did get sent off, he's always been a vocal point for Sydney, always missed the consistent for them, and did get a vital goal for them early in the game. So he gets my one vote for this week. Jordan.
I like that. That's actually his first votes of the season, and he's already scored 8 goals, so we're a bit harsh on him. Players. My one vote for this week is going to Milos Ninkovic from Sydney. He scored a goal, he got an assist, he was pivotal in winning the game for Sydney FC alongside Brosk for the most part. And as he has done all season, he is quality, Jake. So he gets a vote for me. Who's your two votes going to?
My two votes this week, Jordan is going to none other than the Kiwi Messi himself, Marco Rojas, getting another goal and another assist as well. He was a vocal point in Geelong, in Melbourne, getting another win in Geelong this week. So he gets my two votes.
Jake, my two votes are going to James Troisi for finally getting off the fucking mark in goals this season. Like I said, he's taken out 58,000 shots this season, and he's finally put one in. It was a very nice goal, very controversial, given he probably, I think the defender was fouled in the build-up to the goal by Dry Ingham, but we won't go any more into that. I wouldn't go any more into the controversy of the penalties either in this game, because I do not think Victory's penalty should have been a penalty, and I think Newcastle should have had a penalty. Irregardless, it was a 4-2 result. But James Troisi, got an assist, got a goal, and was pivotal once again in the middle of the park for Victory as he continues to strive for his national team recall. Jake, who is your player of the round?
My player of the round is the person I think you will have as your player of the round as well. He goes to none other than Trent Bahaja. He was fantastic against Melbourne City. He's been fantastic for a fair few weeks as well, and has deserved his starting spot and deserved getting 90 minutes as well for Central Coast. It was a great goal and a fantastic assist as well from him. And I know that we're both massive fans of him, and I hope that we see him in the Australian kit in the future. Jordan.
Yeah, you're right. I do give him my three votes, and he is easily my player of the round. No other player really stood out this week, if I'm honest. And he was probably the only one that I could notably say was very impressive. Jake, just want to say one thing. Devante Klut was not in the matchday squad for today's game. Do we know anything about that?
I'm not too sure. As much as I'd love to see him around Newcastle and stuff and getting A-League gigs, I hope that that's because he's getting attention from European teams. Hopefully it's not to do with an injury or anything.
Well, I am just typing his name into Twitter. There is nothing there. So I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure if he's going to be on the move or not. I can't see anything, literally nothing on him to say if he is out for a reason. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens in the coming days. It is January, and it's a bit of a weird one that he was starting last week. He was taken off at halftime in last week's game, though I was under the impression that was tactical. So, I'm not too sure what's going on there. But if it is a move to Europe, then good on him. He is a class player. We both agree that. And he probably will be there one day regardless, so the sooner the better sometimes, isn't it? Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, it depends on you guys. We have a little bit of transfer news, etc., to talk about today. We will go through in order of when the news first came out, but we'll just go through any news as we normally do. Brisbane Roar coach, John Aloisi, Jake, before we talk about signings, says there has not been any offers for Jamie McLaren. I'm going to assume that's as a whole, as a total, from any team. Although I do not think that's necessarily fair, because he has come out and said that on the 30th of December when the transfer window is not open. So I'm not sure.
Bit of the fucking offer for a player when the transfer is not open, you fucking dickhead.
I'm not sure if that is playing a part in it. It probably is. But at the same time, you would think if there was no contact from other clubs, he would have come out and said there'd been no contact, but he said no offers. So, in my opinion, that obviously means Jamie McLaren's going. Not obvious, but he is going to leave. I'm not sure. It just depends whether or not he leaves now or at the end of the season. I personally think he's going to leave at the end of the season, and I think it's going to be to a league like Netherlands or Belgium or something like that. But we'll see what happens. We talked about it the other day, actually. Imagine him at Melbourne Victory.
Fuck me. I wish. Holy shit.
He'd do pretty well. But I don't think it's right for him to move to another A-League team. Although, albeit he would perform a lot better, because I don't think he's getting any service whatsoever at Brisbane Roar at the moment.
I'd like to see him at Central Coast. It'd be a step down, but fuck, imagine him behind, like, in front of, like, Bahia and Payne and Ferreira. It'd turn me on a lot.
Yeah, it would be very, very attacking. Terry Antonis, Jake, has signed for Western Sydney Wanderers controversially in the light of the Jan Jedovic change. Terry Antonis follows suit, swaps blue for black and red, albeit on loan from Paok in Greece after he did leave a couple of seasons ago now. Terry Antonis, always touted as one of the most talented players Australia's ever produced. He's never really kicked on with his career. He's been overseas a couple of times now, and he in Sydney a couple of seasons ago, he was definitely one of the best players in the league. He was touted for massive things, and like I said, never really kicked on. He's struggled for game time and fitness in Greece. He probably shouldn't have gone to Greece, in my opinion, but that's his decision. But it'll be good for him to get game time in the A-League with Western Sydney Wanderers, Jake. I don't know why you're snorting.
I don't know either, John. Yeah, he's a good player. I've always been not a massive fan of seeing him on the opposition team sheet because he's been a player that's given me a little bit of grief. But he's a great signing for Western Sydney. I don't know if it's someone that they really need. I think they'd more need a striker than a central midfielder. But at the same time, a midfield packed with players like Jumpai, Martinez, Nichols, Dimas and Antonis will never go astray.
And you could be adding to their attack pretty soon, Western Sydney, with Eli Babauj, the former Melbourne City and Adelaide United striker, is on trial. Western Sydney Wanderers. Obviously, they're going to sign him. He's a class player. He's only 23 years old. And if they can get him for nothing, that'd be class for them. He's proven in the A-League. He had a very good stint at Melbourne Heart when he was here. You know, we're not called Melbourne City yet. He came back to Adelaide, I think it was last season at the start, and got injured straight away, so he never really did anything. And he's never really done much overseas either, but apparently he's been very determined to get back to full fitness. He's been paying for his own rehab, and he's going to be playing in the A-League for the rest of the season, Jake. So that's always nice to see another Australian talent coming through the ranks.
He's always been good for City as well. Well, Hart, when he was at Hart, he was always a reasonably good player, scored a consistent basis, so it's a fantastic signing for Western Sydney. As I said earlier, they need a striker, so I know, like, obviously they'd rather a Drogba or a Robbie Keane or something like that, but realistically, I wouldn't really care I wouldn't really be worried if I had a player like Ali Babauj up front, because I think he's a quality striker.
Wellington Phoenix have announced their coaches for the remainder of the season. Des Buckingham and Chris Greenacre will be taking over as coaches of Wellington Phoenix, obviously after Ernie Merrick's resignation 4 weeks ago now. Buckingham does have a pro license. He will be the head coach alongside Greenacre. I don't know, fucking these names. Greenacre and Buckingham. Fuck, are these from England or something? I'm not too sure if these guys have been with Wellington Phoenix before. Greenacre is a former Man City and Tranmere striker.
Fuck yeah, Tranmere Rovers, get rid of them.
How's that? Manchester City and Tranmere Rovers. That is a big golfing class. And he was a Phoenix fan favourite in his playing days. Jeez. So he's really been around, hasn't he? He's played for Manchester City, Tranmere Rovers and Wellington Phoenix. What a player.
Really?
Can't really find much on Des Buckingham at the moment. But that is a step in the direction of appointing someone related to Phoenix, because they now have coaches. So that's always nice to see, Jake, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Don't know, expand on that. You don't know anything about it either.
I've literally got no idea.
More transfer news here, Jake. Andrew Redmayne has signed for Sydney FC. So he has swapped Western Sydney for Sydney.
Honestly, straight out. We're talking about on the train to Geelong. Western Sydney have absolutely fucking robbed Sydney here. Because, from what I've heard, Janjetovic was on about 120k a week, and Redmayne was on about 60k, not a week, fucking a year. And Redmayne was on about 60 to 70k a year. And apparently they've swapped wages and swapped players.
Jeez.
Now, I don't know about you, but Janjetovic is a much better fucking goalkeeper. And he's gone to Western Sydney on much less wages than what he was at Sydney. For swapping with Redmayne, who's a bang average goalkeeper, who won't get many fucking game time, much game time. I think Western Sydney have got an absolute fucking bargain here, and it could push them into the top six.
Well, hopefully for their sake it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously everyone knows Redmayne's shit, so if the 60-70k for Janjetovic, that's not too bad, to be honest. That's really all the transfer news that we've got. I mean, the transfer window has literally opened like 2 days ago, so there's never really going to be much happening. But in saying that, you'd think there'd be more rumours, but you would also think that rumours would not be floating about on the official A-League page, would you?
You wouldn't, John.
So if I type A-League transfer into Twitter, I get nothing. I get some post from someone called Keisha Johnson in July of 2016, which says, Talu Wep Tendai Avion P. Velo Transfer P. Rentre Haliti Men Nan Kisa Mesia A-League Pep Haitian. Well, I got Haliti out of that, so that's good. I haven't heard Haliti. Jeez, haven't heard his name for a while. Am I right, Jake? Or am I right? We will kick on here, though, if you're still with me and haven't passed out. To the
preview. I'm here, Jordan. I need to stay awake. The fucking Everton's starting now.
Preview for the upcoming week. We have an hour's episode today. We have 18 minutes to go, Jake. Stay with me. Perth Glory. We won't be going to an hour. Perth Glory. They host Wellington
Phoenix. I'd be fucking surprised if we stay to an hour, Jordan.
Perth Glory hosts Wellington Phoenix, Jake. In this do or die clash for both sides, but Perth Glory need to bounce back. They've got two draws on the trot. Wellington and Phoenix have three draws on the trot, and not smooth sailing for them. This game's played in Perth, a venue that Wellington have not won at since 2015. That was just three games ago, though. But Perth have won the last three games between these two sides, so could be an interesting one here. I'm going for a Perth Glory victory.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
I am certain.
Yeah, look, I don't know. I'm going to go for a Perth Glory win too, Jordan. I think Perth are much better than Wellington, home or away.
I'm also getting this my Bet365 Bet of the Week, Jake. If you're wondering.
Oof, fuck me, they paid $2. This was
$2.10 for the win at home against Wellington Phoenix. I think that's pretty good odds. I'm not going to lie. This game's on Thursday night for those wanting to put a bet on and get in the Friday night, realising Perth Glory already won the game. Yes. Melbourne City. They host Western Sydney Wanderers on Friday night here in a game that they need to win to bounce back from the dismal sort of form that they are in. They've got two draws on the trot, but haven't won in their last five. Western Sydney have three draws in a row and continue to be the biggest drawing side in the league. History suggests that this is quite a high-scoring affair. Take out the last 1-1 draw. Prior to that, we had a 4-1, a 4-3, a 3-2, and a 3-0. So there's always plenty of goals in these fixtures. I think Melbourne City is going to win this game. And I think it is going to follow suit of a high-scoring game. I think it's going to be about a 3-1 or a 3-2 here, Jake.
Yeah, well, realistically, City should win. I'm not sure if Jan Jedovic, I think he is, I think Jan Jedovic and Antonis are available for it, which could be obviously massive ins for Western Sydney. But I think City will show their class. They're a much better team than what they've shown over the last month, and I think they'll get 3 points, Jordan.
Moving on here to Brisbane Roar versus the Newcastle Jets. Jake, not much can be said about this game. I think Brisbane's going to win. They're always quite strong at home. And they should get the win here. But they have lost the last game, as have Newcastle. And Newcastle actually thumped them 4-0 back at the start of October. So you never know, as we find out, that Davies and Calvert-Lewin both star for Everton, Jake. So that is a good thing. But yes, it's going to be a pretty interesting game here for Brisbane. I think they should get the result, and we'll see what happens with Devante Clute, but Newcastle Jets will be wanting to bounce back, but I don't think they will.
I don't think they will either. I think if it was in Newcastle, I'd have a draw. But because it's in Brisbane, Brisbane will always show their class at home, and I feel like a trip from Geelong and then to Brisbane won't help Newcastle in the slightest. So I think Brisbane will definitely get 3 points here.
Adelaide United, they host Melbourne Victory in the old rivalry that they always love to go on about. I don't know. I don't know why I've said that. Adelaide, they are just proper shit this season, aren't they? And they really need to get a win here. And what better team to beat to announce their arrival on the season, Jake, than Melbourne Victory?
Fuck off. It's not happening. I'm not travelling. I'm not spending 17 hours in a fucking car to watch fucking bottom play with a wooden spoon is potentially beat us. I apologise, Jordan, but we're going to fucking win this game because I'm not spending that long in a car to travel to watch us lose to last place.
Jake, I think it's going to be a draw.
It's not going to be. We're going to fucking win, okay?
We'll go with that, but I don't think it's going to be a draw. If you think it's going to be a
Tom fucking Davies!
And Calvert-Lewin. Fuck, are we playing a... I don't know.
For those playing at home, Everton have gone with the starting lineup of Joel, Baines, Funes Mori, Baines captain, by the way, Williams, Coleman, Garner, Davies, Garner is interested, Garner gay, by the way, to those playing at home, Lennon, Barkley, Calvert-Lewin, and Lukaku. Calvert-Lewin making his first starting appearance for Everton.
You said prior to that, for those playing at home, like we are raffling off what the starting lineup for Everton is.
there's a lot of people listening to this at on Tuesday night, what Everton were lining up on Tuesday morning for.
And you heard it here first that Tom Davies, the OG, Calvert-Lewin.
Tom Davies is literally going to be the next best thing coming out of England. If anyone thinks I'm wrong, fucking message me.
Hit me up in the DMs.
Do a fucking D.
Final game, Jake. Central Coast versus Sydney FC. I think it's going to be a very good game. I feel like Central Coast are ready to kick on from their 2-2 draw with Melbourne City. That was their first points in their last five, but they've shown signs this season. Sydney FC is yet to lose a game. The Invincibles of the A-League so far. We'll see what happens throughout the rest of the season, but they don't really look like losing a game, but they do at the same time, so it's a weird one. But I think it's going to be a draw, Jake. I think Central Coast is going to be up for it, and they might sneak a point.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping they get a point. I think Sydney will win, but I'm really hoping they don't, Jordan. I think Central Coast have a massive chance of getting a point here. And they should get a good crowd as well, because they got like 12,000 against City as well. So I think they'll get a good crowd. And it could push the team on, get a bit of confidence, Jordan.
Let's
hope.
Yes, it will open. That's all the games we're going to cover, Jake.
We're on the move.
We are done.
We've got something to prove.
We're on the move.
It's no surprise the Blue Boys are on the rise. So get your coat on and get moving, because there's no meaning of losing. So come on, come on, get down to Goodison Park. Woo! Everton, you never shine so brightly. Everton, the spirit of the Blues. Take it away, Jordan.
About to shit myself.
Do it. Shit all over my chest. Did you hear me slapping against my leg?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm giving myself a corgi. I'm so sore.
I think we're going to wrap things up here. If you don't follow us on Audio Boom and Facebook, give us a like. It involves some conversations that we don't really host, but you can still message us and stuff.
The conversation topics will be good. Because this fucking podcast has been a bit shorter than usual.
Give us something to talk about. Southampton released their lineup and start with a bloke named McQueen. So I'm feeling a little bit more confident.
They've got no Van Dijk, so I'm going to be able to fucking wank.
I can't wait to watch.
Snapchat.
We'll be back on...
JakeWhite_16.
We'll be back.
Wait, is there an underscore? I think there is. There's an underscore if you're wondering at home.
We'll be back on Friday with the Everything EPL podcast, Jake. But until then, Jake.
Have a night. I'm on top of the world. Hey, I'm on top of the world.